You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Ryan Goodman and Tanguay podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
It is the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, and Gary Tanguay along with the Ryan Zoo Pod, sponsored by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. And you can score with the NFL this season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any five winning dollar money line bet. Okay, it was so weird to me last night. I was at the Philadelphia game when the Celtics played them a week ago, and then the Celtics are back in Philadelphia again, a much different outcome. The one thing we want to talk about, White had a great game. Horford, he came up big. But I want to talk about the presence of Jason Tatum because it's something I noticed. Now, Porzingis and Jaylen Brown are out. But, Bob, I don't know if you've noticed something this year. There seems to be a presence of Jason Tatum on the floor that is of a leader that needs to make the right play at the right time. Like, I thought when Philadelphia was making a run and they were still in the game last night that whenever you needed a bucket – well, you needed something done right, Tatum was there to do it. Do you feel that presence this year more than in the past?
Undoubtedly. And that's what we talked about. It's almost like he was listening to us in the offseason. Because the three of us have been on the same page with regard to the fact that we know how enormously gifted and talented he is, but that's not the full story. You know, the next thing is what my great mentor, Frank Power, used to call the connection. You know, which Larry Bird had, which the great ones have, you know, the mind and the instant knowing when to take over and how to take over, when to assert yourself and how to assert yourself when you have that range of skill. It doesn't have to be always taking a shot, you know, drawing traffic and getting hit to an open man. And that's part of the deal that he's capable of doing. Anyway, recognizing that responsibility. And I'll just sum up LeBron. Okay, this is one of my favorite themes, as to how LeBron got to the top of the mountaintop. They finally got there. And after he bottomed out in 2010 and quit against the Celtics and flamed out against the Mavericks in 11, and said he somewhere along the line, it got into his head, I'm the best player on the floor, and I have to act as such at the right time, and which is done for the rest of his career, and which Michael figured out finally. Michael had to temper himself a little bit. But anyway, yeah, I'm very long-winded here. Yes, he is different. I think we're seeing an MVP-ish kind of guy that we were, you know, asking him, you know, he's maximizing his potential. That I'll put it that way.
By the way, Bob, you get paid to be long-winded on this show. but, you know, Jeff, that's like, and maybe I'm just a little late to the party, but, you know, I saw that last night where I'm watching the game and while it was White with the numbers and, you know, everybody's talking about Horford in the block, I just saw a presence from Tatum last night and a very calming presence. Like, I never thought the Celtics were going to lose the game last night because of Jason Tatum.
Yeah, where you might not have said that a year or 2 years ago, but you're right. Like, he's grown up. And again, I keep going back to, like, who did he learn from early in his career how to lead? Kyrie Irving?
Mm.
Like, who were you learning from then? You know, like, Al's super – I actually think having Al back was huge for Jason Tatum because he's kind of that guy that they have similar personalities, but obviously Jason Tatum has to be more of an alpha dog, right? He's got to be. He's learned how to deal with officials better. And playing with two pros, and I don't mean pros – I mean pros in the sense of, like, professionalism, like Derek White, like Jrue Holiday, have helped Jason Tatum immensely – both on and off the court. Because if you look at his efficiency, why is it? What's changed? Well, having two dudes on the court that honestly just play the right way.
Yeah.
They move the ball. They're not about themselves. Tatum knows he's going to get the ball back. I mean, look at his numbers now. He's shooting 5% higher than he did a year ago from the field. Okay. He's shooting 5% better than he did last year from three-point range. He's getting fewer shots. He's going to average less. He knows that. He said that to me in the offseason. He's like, I know I'm not going to average 30 with all these really good players we have around us. But he does everything. And like you said, Gary, what does he do? He makes the damn right play so often now. He doesn't really force bad shots like he did a few years ago. And they were bad, contested, pull-up threes, like step-back threes that you were like, what are you doing? Now, like, he just makes the right play because he's right. Got a high basketball IQ.
Yeah, I mean, it is great to watch. It really is. And last night, you know, last night's game with no Porzingis and with no Jaylen Brown was sick. Porzingis is got a nagging knee injury. You know, I thought, Bob, okay, well, Philadelphia could make a run here. The week before, the Celtics just didn't play well. You know, I mean, to me, it was more on the Celtics than them. But for the Celtics to go into Philly and win without Porzingis and Jaylen Brown, that's making a statement. I know it's early, but that's making a statement.
No, it's one of those games that the NBA has these ebbs and flows. And it was one of these games before I said to my wife, you know, with those two guys out, they don't win. You know, we shrug and go, hey, it didn't matter. You know, that doesn't tell us anything. But if they do win, that's a good win. And it is a good win. It was a good win. And it was a very encouraging win. But I've seen this league is so predictable and when it's unpredictable. In other words, I saw so many times over the when you thought tonight the forces are not aligned for things to go right tonight because Mr. X is out, Mr. Y is hurt, and they go in and win the game. You know, and I saw it so many times. There was a lot to like about the game, but you don't get too carried away either, you know. But still, it was important. I liked the auxiliary contributions, you know, the little ones that they got as well. Because the bench, to me, is the overriding issue.
Right.
You're right, Bob. Like, these games are good. When maybe not having two guys out like this. I mean, when you win and having two guys out, it's great. But like, if you have one guy out, you know, it's fine because that gives, you know, 30 minutes to these other guys. I mean, you see Cornette get 19.
Yeah.
Pritchard get 23. Svee Mykhailiuk, who can shoot the hell out of it, by the way, got 15 minutes.
Yeah. When I saw Cornette out there and then I saw Pritchard out there, I'm like, oh, boy, yeah, I don't know. But so let's give some love to Mr. White, Jeff. He had 27 last night.
Yeah.
Now, we all know we've had various disagreements about Marcus Smart. And I don't want to, like, knock the guy when he's not here.
Right.
But White has done a very good job in stepping it up. And also Holiday. But another example, like White last night was just huge.
They're completely different players, he and Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. You know, Derek White is an elite defender, but he does it in a very unassuming way. And Marcus Smart does it. Derek White's personality is very unassuming. He's not going to challenge people. That's just not his personality. Where Marcus Smart, for better or worse, would challenge people. And sometimes it worked. And sometimes, honestly, it didn't. And I don't, you know, people always say, well, he's the leader. No, no. He wasn't the leader of the team. He was kind of the emotional dude of this team.
He was vocal.
Yeah. Like, again, Derek White is just a consummate pro. And, like, he's all about the right stuff. And moves the ball and doesn't take dumb shots. Doesn't take dumb shots, period. Like, go ahead, leave Derek White open in the NBA Finals now or the Eastern Conference Finals. You want that ball to go in his hands for an uncontested three. When Marcus Smart, when you saw the ball go to him for an uncontested three, you did this. You didn't want to watch.
They couldn't be more different, and as you alluded to, Marcus Smart game was at both ends of the floor was frantic. Now I appreciate, you know, I was this guy. I was a guy. I was a member of a fan club. I love some of the stuff he did, and you know, I was willing to put up with the, oh my God, don't take that shot, you know, gun thing. Right. Okay, this guy, other guy, I got to tell you, when they picked up Derek White, and I think it was January of 2 years ago, January of 21.
He was bad, Bob. He was bad.
And when they picked him up, though, I said he was a guy who had flown under the Bob Ryan radar screen. I knew of the existence of this guy, and that's about it. I hadn't paid any attention to him. So I looked it up right away. I said, oh, my God, he scored 14 points a game last year in San Antonio. I had no idea. That's an A. And I know, but I still know, didn't see, had no feel for his game whatsoever.
Right.
Okay. And now I have, talk about a member of the fan club. If Smart was frantic, this guy is Mr. Cool, Mr. Efficient. There's a category of players, I think we'd all agree, that you can say this in all the major sports. They just, capital J, K, no, H, how, K, T, to, P, play. They just know how to play.
Right.
Derek White is one of those guys in basketball. He just knows how to play. And he makes good decisions.
He's a great teammate. Like, watch him at the end of the game last night. Watch Gary and Tatum. And again, everybody loves Derek White. He's always smiling, coming out of the locker room, whatever. Like, Drew Holiday, easy to play with, great teammate. Like, there's just, I don't think there's going to be any friction now. I think there was friction the last couple of years. I really do. And,
yeah,
you know, Jaylen Brown now got paid. So what the hell is the friction? You're the highest paid player in the league. The only friction is with people that are going to, you know, go after you fan-wise for being the highest paid player and not really deserving it, which we all know is true.
Yeah, get over it. We feel sorry for you. But you're right. There is a sense of calm, and there is a sense, there's just a different presence, a level of maturity with this team this year. That it's just that it, in that aspect, and we talked about Tatum, you know, you guys talked about it. They've arrived with the maturity level. That's what I've seen. So
clear pecking order too. Clear pecking order now.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like no longer is it like, who's the guy?
Right.
Like, it's clear it's Jason Tatum's team. Sure. And I've said this for a few years. Like, Jaylen Brown, you're the clear number two. And I'm not even sure you're the number two anymore with Porzingis here and Holiday and White. Like, you know, you're the second offensive option, I guess. But really, you're the second offensive option when you're in transition. In the half court, I'm not sure that's the guy.
Right.
I want to be the guy who has the ball in their hands with the game on the line. Like, do you? Bob, who, if it's not Jason Tatum taking the shot, do you want it to be Jaylen Brown taking the shot in the half court?
Not necessarily, no. No, right? No, we got these other guys, no.
You move the ball. Yeah, you want then it to be the open man. That's what you want it to be then.
With regard to this maturing process, let's just always remember the Jason Tatum's next, on his next birthday, which is March 3rd, 2024, he will be 26.
Right. Oh, right. And Bob's right.
This, you know,
right.
And this is his sixth year in the league.
Yeah, it's out of hand. The level of expectation for these players, it's out of hand.
So, you know, it's a pleasure to watch. It's fun. And it's very encouraging. It's great. I'm looking forward to how this.
And I get overexcited. I mean, I get. It's regular season. I turn into an excitable basketball fan. Score early this NFL season with FanDuel. You know what's America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. Look, if you're not good at math, you know that's a good deal. I mean, I'm not good at math, and I know that's a good deal. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is easy to use, so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off your NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. All right, here we go, folks. Now pay attention to this. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. I do want to touch on Al for a minute, and I want to ask Bob about this, because, Bob, throughout your career, you have seen these guys, and we've talked about Al. he doesn't have enough in the tank to do it every night. We know that. But last night comes up with the big block. You got no Porzingis. You need him. You have seen guys like Al throughout their career where just when I need you to show up, he does.
No, he's identifiable that way. No question. This is, and they're going to, you know, we're going to know how he's going to be used. It's going to be the same. No back-to-backs. They're going to, you know, stretch it out and get the most out of him. And you have to handle him very, you know, specifically, you know, but that was right. That was a absolutely crucial performance last night. You know, among the many, there was so many different things that had to go right for that game. And you know, White's 27 and Tatum's moments, but Al's moments were huge. And it's going to be, it won't be the last, you know, but it's not going to be every night, you know, and that's the way it is. But no, he's still got something left. He's still valuable. And of course, we all know he's valuable off the court. So I'm happy, still happy to have Al.
Do you have a memory? This is where I like to go into the Bob Ryan memory bank. Maybe in the past of a player like that who.
He's a very different player, but you know, I mean, now Don Nelson, as he aged, you know, was a very important part of the mix, and it wasn't there every single night, but maybe Nelly a little bit. I'm trying to think of any. I'm sure somebody's going to jump out at me.
Well, I think Scott Wedman comes to mind maybe at the end. No, you know, Wedman would come in and hit those threes, things like
that. Yeah, no, Wedman. No, Wedman. Of course, in the Memorial Day Massacre, Wedman went 11 for 11 from the floor. But of course, the point I'd love to point out, he didn't enter the game till they were up by 25 in the second quarter, and he went 11 for 11 the rest of the way. Anyway,
talk about piling on. Okay. Moving on from that, guys, now we go to Draymond Green. We're going to talk about the Warriors in general, too. You know, I watched the video of the whole Draymond thing. He just can't help himself. You know what I mean? I mean, he gets five games, and obviously he has a reputation, and he just can't help himself, Jeff. I mean, you put a guy in a headlock, that's it. You know, he's lucky he only got five.
I've known Draymond forever, and I'm getting tired of the act. And I really do. I like Draymond a lot. I love the energy he brings and the passion, the emotion. And obviously, he's all about winning, you know, with the way he guards. But is he all about winning? Because if he was, he'd be a little bit smarter about some of the things that he does right now. But here's the thing, and I'll throw this to Bob. Like, Draymond is so different from everybody else in this day and age in the NBA. If you put Draymond 20 years ago in the NBA, would there be this outcry? I mean, isn't he like Rodman-esque in some ways? And we just accepted Rodman for who he was eventually.
The 1980 Knicks, the 85, 86, 88 Knicks or the Pistons, sure.
Yeah, Oakley.
Oakley, well, that's the word.
Horn, you know?
That's where I was going. No, you're right. That's where I was going. Oakley, right, it comes to mind as a Oakley. Somehow Draymond is still specific in his, you know, but you know, right. I was always I identified him at Michigan State, and I was surprised when he was the 35th pick in the draft that the year he came out. I thought the teams were all made a mistake and waiting on him, and he proved his worth and all that. But you're right. I totally agree the way you phrase it. I'm tired of the act too, because it's you know what? It's utterly self-serving. It's all it is. It's self-serving. I can do what I want, and that's, can't take that away from me. Very, very interesting. I loved what Rudy Gobert, because I was unaware of the depth of their enmity. You know, I didn't realize that they were such mortal enemies as I now know they are. I kind of missed that out on that. But when he accused Dave Draymond of not wanting to play on nights when Curry doesn't play.
I think it's 10% of the time or something.
So, but that's an interesting dynamic between those two. But you know, but it wasn't just that it was a headlock; it was a chokehold, more or less. And
yeah,
and
I think Gobert said he tried to choke me out, but he couldn't, or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So he even timed it out 9 seconds.
It was embarrassing for Draymond Green. That's the problem now. It's gotten to the point where nothing he does really phases us that much. But my question, Gary, five games, was that enough of a suspension, or would you give him more?
Well, I thought it could have been more, but he still is a marquee player, and it's a marquee team. And we understand that the NBA is aware of that. Chokehold's a better word. You could certainly go to 7. You could go to 10 if you really want to, you know, put an end to it. Yeah. The thing that's too bad is what you just talked about is he's becoming a caricature. It's almost like he's a wrestler now, you know, and people forget about all the good things he has done, that he could score the basketball, that he is a talented player, that he's just not a carnival act, you know.
But he's less of an asset than he used to be. His skills have diminished the last 2 years. There's no question. And so now it's way too much weighted towards being, you know, this.
Well, is that it, Bob? Does he understand that? And he knows that the only way he can contribute is to do this?
Maybe that's the way he's framing it. I don't know. Meanwhile, you know, where does Steve Kerr come in on all this? What quote unquote control does he have over Draymond Green? You know, you wonder how much does he want to try to influence Green's behavior? Because, you know, I mean, that to me, that should be coming to the discussion here. So,
yeah. And Jeff, you think they're toast, right? Golden State?
I do. I toast to win it all. Toast to really be a factor when it matters. Like, they can be a playoff team and win a round or maybe even get to the Western Conference Finals. But I don't think they're legitimate contenders to win the whole thing again. No.
No, I would say.
Go ahead, Bob.
Strictly my category that I have, is in the category of nobody's going to say, oh, goody, we're playing the Warriors, but you're not worried about them either. You're not afraid of them.
Right.
Be afraid of them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right. We talked about this earlier in the week, Jeff, about Adam Silver, who was making the rounds in the media. Bob, he chimed in. We first of all talked about the analyst work. And Bob, you can jump in let Jeff know what you have to say. I mean, he was saying that there needs to be greater detail in the game analysis from the broadcasters, like in the NFL. And Bob and I were saying it's two different games.
It's totally two different games. First of all, I don't know. I would like him to identify. Give me who's your NFL model that you want your NBA guys to be. Give me some examples because I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well, because Tony Romo doesn't talk about the game. He's cracking jokes all the time.
All right, so,
maybe he's talking about the shows. Maybe he's talking about some of the shows and they break it. But it's the landscape for everything now. Everybody's into hot takes and, instead of breaking it down, I don't know how many people are breaking down. I think it's a little bit easier to break plays down in the NFL than it is to break.
If he's talking about the shows, that's a totally different animal than that. I want him to be specific. What are you talking about here exactly?
Yeah, no, he's talking about the game broadcast. You know, he's talking about...
He wants
a UB Brown every night, Bob. You mentioned UB Brown. He wants a UB Brown every night.
Well, it'd be nice. UB, by the way, still throwing 95 on the black. He still got it as he pushes 90, by the way. But I think that's the one guy that you can refute this argument, I think. But but the games are so different. I mean, football is 4 to 8 seconds of action followed by 35 to 40 seconds of inaction, followed by 4 to 8 seconds of action, followed by and on 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 it goes for 3 hours. Basketball and hockey are fluid games and they don't break down that way. And there's it's a different skill set necessary needed to be a color man for basketball and hockey than it is for football or even baseball when you got pitches, time between pitches. So, I mean, come on, I don't know what he means here. I was really surprised. And where does this come from? So, I need to sit down with a beer at Adam. Let's tell me, I don't get it. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Jeff, I think where he's coming from is he doesn't want the game to become a show, you know, where everything is cliches and everybody's looking for the catchphrase. And he wants the meat and potatoes back. But I don't know if that's what the fans want, too. And also, the basketball is the type of game that you could see. you know, you can watch the ball and also watch away from the ball. The NFL is a whole lot more going on.
You know, I'll tell you a guy that I thought got it and was my idea of a good color man in NBA. And that's Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah,
I love Jeff Van Gundy. I said for years, Jeff, don't go back to coaching and serve the benefit, you know, the benefit one constituency. You stay, do what you're doing. You're helping us. You're helping all of us who love basketball because you get it. You get you even get what it's like to be a fan. I mean, maybe this is what happens, comes when you come out of Division III, when your father was a coach and all that. Fine. Well, I thought he was terrific at it. And you know, the idea that he got canned for whatever reason is stupid. And I think, and, you know, it's a shame. But anyway, I thought he.
What do you think of the Rivers duo coming back? You got Doc back, and they brought in ESPN, brought in Austin, who's really good. Like, they're both. I know what you think of Doc. Doc could do whatever, Gary. It doesn't matter. Doc could take out his garbage, and Bob would be like, he's the best garbage man of all time.
He's got a real flair. Got a real flair for that can. Oh, yeah.
Austin's really good, though.
Good. I mean, I haven't caught Austin yet. So
yeah, very good. Very good. Listen, it is what it is. How about the Mark Jackson saga?
I just saw the back page of the post, which I haven't read yet. I don't know what it's all about.
So I guess they won't let him on the team. Like, he was going to do MSG in New York, and they wouldn't let him on the team plane or something. Leon Rose, the head of the Knicks, because he had an issue with an assistant who's on the Knicks who used to be on a staff at Golden State, Darren, I forget his last name.
Oh, wow.
Erman, I think. And something happened there. Years ago. So Leon Rose backing his assistant coach and basically saying, no, this isn't going to happen.
Wow. Interesting.
He may have to fly commercial.
Yeah. I don't even know if he's still going to do MSG games.
Yeah.
He might be pushed out of doing that, but Leon Rose, listen, the ultimate, in non-accountability, he runs the Knicks, but he does nothing with the media. You know, when they were down, he was never accountable, never showed up. Former agent for CAA, who's just hides.
Dolan, yes, man. Exactly. What about Bob and I didn't talk about this, but expansion for the NBA. Now, I can appreciate that it's become an international game, and we've talked about how important the international players have been to the league. It's been phenomenal. Raised the level. But do you still think, Jeff, I'll start with you on this. Do you think there are enough players worldwide to support expansion?
I mean, sure there are. I mean, listen.
Quality players.
Yeah, I don't really think that. No, I would say probably not. But I won't be upset if they put a team in Vegas, so I get to go to Vegas a little bit more often.
What about overseas? What about if they put a team
in Vegas? The big one is, right, they're talking about overseas. Because that has been floating around on the edges. Going back into the 70s, when the discussion was that the first city that got mentioned as an international destination, perhaps for the NBA, was Mexico City back in the 70s.
Right. Really.
And they continue to play there, you know, annually, right? Do they not in the NBA?
I think so.
Yeah. And, or Madrid. I've always heard Madrid too.
Well, but first one was Mexico City. Of course, now the focus has got to be in Europe. But right. I mean, ask yourself, if you're a player, you know, this is a whole other matter of where I'm going to live. I'm going to play. I'm going to live in a truly, you know, Canada is one thing, but some guys are spooked by that, let alone going to live in Mexico.
It's never going to happen because of what you said. The star players are going to want to stay in the United States. You have tax ramifications. I don't know what they are in various countries, income, so forth. And then it just comes down to the travel. You would have to have like a division. You would have to have a European division. And that's what happens in football. They talk about it with football, too. So you're going to put, what, 5 teams in Europe? Then that's going to really suck. You're going to add 5 more teams in the NBA to make it work? And then they're not going to get free agents.
Yeah. That's just not asking too much. I just a little too ambitious for my taste. I don't know. But I know they want to have a presence. Obviously, they love the exhibition thing will grow and grow. That's fine. You know, you want to sell. It's all about selling merchandise, really. You know that.
But isn't it enough? I know I sound like a really old geezer now. Isn't enough? I mean, Bob's right. I mean, they have a ton of exhibition, regular season games, whatever. The merchandise is everywhere. You can watch any game anywhere in the world. I can go to the top of Mount Everest and get NBA TV. I mean, like, I don't really see the need.
There's going to be a team in Vegas. I'm telling you, there's going to be a team in Vegas.
You're just a degenerate. You just want an excuse.
No, I'm telling you, there is, like, whether I want it or not, which, yes, I want it. But, yeah, I could see Seattle and Vegas going back to Seattle.
Well, Seattle should be back, and they were wronged. The two cities that were wronged by the NBA were Buffalo, number right. one, and two, which was nothing wrong with that franchise other than bad ownership. And then, you know, they became the Clippers and so on and so forth. And Seattle got, you know, as soon as that guy bought the team and you knew he was going to Oklahoma City, can't think of his name right now. What is his name, Jeff? I remember. But anyway, and nothing wrong with Oklahoma City's a good addition for the NBA. That's yes. fine. Oklahoma City's Great been idea. A terrific place. It's it, but Seattle got wronged, and I hope they can get a team back.
When I think about the Buffalo Braves,
oh.
it brings me back to the hit record, Matt Can Do. Matt Can Do. Matt, I remember that. I think I heard Brett.
I think I am telling you some of my favorite, you know, really good memories of you know, covering the NBA in the 70s have to do with the Celtics and Buffalo Braves.
Oh, it's great. Matt Can Do, Randy Smith, Ernie D, Jim McMillan.
Oh, man. And
Dr.
And,
Jack.
Oh God, Doc, absolutely! It was and it was a great two really good playoff series, 2-6 game series, 74 and 76. You know, 74. Oh my God! You know that ended up. It was they were really good, and Dave versus Collins and McAdoo was a terrific matchup. And oh God, it was fun, and they got screwed because of John Y. Brown and Paul Snyder. Right. You know, it turned the fans off, and then next thing you know. They're in the franchise swap, you know, and it's done. It never went back to them. There was nothing wrong with that franchise.
Yeah. Hey, I have one final trivia question for you. There's one team, and this shows you, by the way, the in-season tournament, I'm about as out on as anybody. Dumbest thing ever. But there's one team that hasn't put an in-season tournament, whatever the hell you want to call it. Robert? What team is that?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to somebody's.
That's why I asked you. I asked you because I know you don't care. I don't care. Gary doesn't care. Isn't this ridiculous?
Go ahead.
Well, who's the team?
Toronto.
Oh, Toronto, yeah.
But I'm not even asking for right. like, nobody cares. Nobody cares is what I'm getting at. What
no,
I'm getting
I think, at but is, you know, look, it goes back to the money thing, Jeff. The one thing that we've seen, and I've seen it with the NFL too, they're going to continue constantly to try to develop new revenue streams. They just that's what they do, and they always will. I think the people who are going to make the most money are the ones who make the new floors. You know, you had a new floor.
The company got 30 new floors.
30 new floors. Boom, there you go. You know, or, you know, like you can go to Vegas and see the Final Four of this. The players like it. Yeah. You know, but the fan, we don't care. And I don't even think the younger generation cares. I really don't.
Vegas, as we speak, the baseball owners are approving the sale of the eventual move of the Oakland A's to guess where?
Vegas.
Hey, before we wrap it up today, I got to make mention of it just saddens me that Big Baby Davis has been convicted of fraud along with Will Bynum.
Well, can I ask something here? He was arrested with 126 grams of marijuana and $92,000 in cash in a hotel room. I didn't know people were still buying marijuana illegally. I thought you could just go to a
I know. Well, maybe some people didn't get the message. But you know, I just say this about Baby. You know, remember you wanted to like him so much. I did. You know, he was engaged.
He was always fun, jovial. All of that. I feel bad. I've known.
Remember after his rookie year that he couldn't play early in the season. He did something dumb. Remember he did something really stupid and he was suspended. And that's when I started to worry a little bit. And the time went on. And I once said to Doc, I had a discussion with Doc. I think he got into some other trouble And he said, I worry about Baby, about after, you know, in the afterlife, you know. Guess what? Here it is.
Oh, yeah. Could he
spend time in jail? I mean, Terrence
Williams. He's facing more hard time.
And Will was the ringleader of that. And I think he was sentenced to 10 years of that whole scheme.
And you talk about throwing away a career and a life that, you know, he had to, he got 8 years out of the NBA, but he could have had.
Well, he came from a really, really tough area and tough upbringing. So okay. I feel bad for Big Baby here. Again, he was one of those guys that I always liked. From the first time I saw him, I think he was like 14 years old, played for, I forget what the AAU team down there, and right, grew up right across in Baton Rouge.
Uh-huh.
And his mother was a friggin' riot. She would run up and down the sidelines yelling, "That's my baby," over and over and over, loud as can be. But yeah, let's hope baby gets kind of everything kind of squared away and straightened out, because I really do like him a lot, but that's sad. Yeah. It's sad.
It's sad. Well, it is an example of what happens to players after the lights go off.
Yep.
You know, some guys, they have no direction. They don't know what to do.
Yeah. The thing is about it, though, he gave us a warning. There were warning signs when he was.
Yeah.
Always. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, guys, Jeff, always a pleasure, my friend. Bob Ryan, we'll talk to you again next week. Any other final thoughts, gents?
Well, happy in-season tournament, guys.
Happy in-season tournament. We'll try to get to everybody before Thanksgiving. All right, guys.
All right.